Welcome back to part two of our Green River Killer episode. I'm Mike.
I'm Ruben.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Michelle.
Early in August 2003, Seattle television news reported that Ridgway had been moved from a maximum security cell at King County Jail to an Airway Heights minimum medium security little tank. Other news reports stated that his lawyers, led by Anthony Savage, were closing a plea bargain that would spare him the death penalty in return for his confession to a number of the Green River murders.
That's the tactic they use, right?
Yes.
Take off the death penalty so they can talk?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then did they put it back on? Oh, but they couldn't put it back on, right?
No.
They can't, like, that was the deal?
Yeah.
Damn, dude. So he's getting to sit the rest of his life in prison?
Why are you whispering?
I don't know, boo, because sometimes I feel I'll talk loud. He can still hear me.
Yes, I was doing.
It's going to be my new motive. I'm going to try not to be like that all loud.
But yeah, it's a tactic.
Okay.
Does it really matter where he gets moved to?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. They had him at a
maximum.
They moved him to a minimum?
Yeah.
Medium security level tank?
Yeah.
I guess they saw he may. Well, maybe they thought that, okay, well, yeah, he's a threat outside of society, but maybe inside the jail cell, he was like.
Yeah, made for his parole protection.
Yeah.
Kept him in a maximum.
Yeah.
They should have kept him in the maximum. I'm not saying they should have.
You protected him?
No, I'm saying that they should have kept him in there. God dang it, Bubba.
I'm joking.
Yeah, I've got time for your kidding. Nah, no, just playing. So what happened after that? So is that when he confessed the 80 murders? Did he confess to the 80s right 80 murder right then and there?
I don't know. I want to say when he was in the Navy.
I still say he probably, that's what his hide number is coming from.
When
he was in the Navy, or maybe he just, you know.
It could be. Maybe he started over there.
So, maybe
I wonder if anyone's asked him if he murdered anyone over there.
Maybe they felt like he would volunteer since he's already telling them, you know,
yeah.
That he did, you know, was the one that was killing them. So maybe they thought like,
yeah.
That's a food for thought. Speaking of food.
Who's getting chips?
Chips.
My mom.
On November 5th, 2003, Ridgway entered a guilty plea to 48 charges of aggravated first-degree murder as part of his plea bargain, agreed to in June that would spare him his life in exchange for his cooperation in locating the remains of his victims and providing other details. In his statement accompanying his guilty plea, Ridgway explained that he had killed all his victims in King County, Washington, and as mentioned before, he had transported the remains of two women near Portland, Oregon, to confuse the police.
He would just move them?
Yeah.
Why would he only do two? You would think he would confuse them any time he killed them. You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah.
To kind of like, I mean, eventually they're going to catch him because it's DNA, right? Yeah, but I'm just saying, like,
why not just?
I'm just going to confuse them twice. Yeah. I know. He's a weird little dude.
That'd be so much paranoia.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, having a dead body in your
car. But then he would leave things at the crime at the dump sites, too.
Trying to make it seem it was someone else, right? Stupid. I don't know why I want to say that.
Never leave cigarette butts.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I don't know why was it from the movie that I saw that that's how they catch him, with a cigarette butt? Or was it someone else? Another serial killer that they caught with it?
I'm not sure.
Some kind of DNA.
Yeah, because I know a cigarette butt played in someone's case. I don't know who it was, and they figure out who the killer was by that. Or they were trying. That's what they were trying to do. I think that's what it was. I think that that cigarette butt they had said they had found or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're all like, okay, well, he smokes. So let's see if there's, like, any more cigarette butts around the
police.
The victims. Yeah. You know what I'm trying to get at? And I think, like, once he saw him, or I don't know what. I might be wrong. Don't quote me on that.
We won't.
Okay. Tell me about the people who listen. Our moms. Our madres, don't quote me on that.
On December 18th, 2003, a judge sentenced Ridgway to 48 life sentences with no possibility of parole, and one life sentence to be served consecutively. He was also sentenced to an additional 10 years for tampering with evidence for each of the 48 victims, adding 480 years to his 48 life sentences. Ridgway led prosecutors to three bodies in 2003. On August 16th of that year, the remains of a 16-year-old girl found near Inumkaw, Washington, 40 feet from State Route 410, were pronounced as belonging to Pammy Annette Abbott, who had been believed to be a victim of the Green River Killer. The remains of Mary Malabar, an April veteran, were found in September 2003.
So he led him to three bodies.
Three more bodies.
So he to three more bodies?
Yeah.
How many did he, okay. Did he take them to go find, well, not all of the bodies, obviously, but the ones that they didn't find and he knew where they were at is what?
I wonder if he knew where all of them were.
More likely.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to get, well, I'm pretty sure.
You wouldn't forget that he knew one.
I mean, who would? I mean, if you're that much, well, I mean, I don't know. That's a good question because if he killed that many people.
If he what?
Killed. I know how I said it the first time, but look.
You said killed.
I know. Whatever, man. But I'm just saying, if he killed that many people, Are you going to remember exactly where he put all of them? At some point, you might forget. Like
this one there, this one there.
This one there. So maybe he was just leading to the ones that he knew for sure.
Yeah.
But were these victims from a while back or are these like recent victims?
No, they were from the very start.
From the very, very start?
Not from the very start, but...
Yeah, but like, more or less in the beginning.
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
But for the most part, Sarah could just remember where they knew their bodies, but 80 bodies? Yeah. How would you remember?
I know.
Well, 49.
Oh, yeah, 49.
Well, yeah, well, but he committed to 8 murders. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
But like 49 in total that he was convicted of four, but...
On November 23rd, 2005, the AP... reported that a weekend hiker found the skull of one of the 48 women Ridgway admitted to murdering in his 2003 plea bargain with King County prosecutors.
So they found a skull?
So they found... Man, but like, how many more bodies started popping up after he got arrested, though? Because did you notice the whole time they couldn't find him, they were just finding bodies here and there? And then they caught him, and then all of a sudden, all these bodies started popping up?
Yeah.
People were like, that's God's work right there.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm pretty sure animals got to them, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, people tell me now, but... Can you imagine?
Yeah, they were finding bones.
Yeah. But, like, how does he... Oh, I'll show him pictures, right? Just being all like, oh, yeah, I remember her.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if he came across one that's like, I don't remember her, but, yeah, I put her under my belt.
Yeah.
You know?
Took credit for it?
Yeah, just to take credit for it.
Just to stroke his ego.
Yeah, because obviously he had a problem with it.
Yeah.
Damn.
The skull of another victim, Tracy Winston, who was 19 when she disappeared from Northgate Mall on September 12, 1983, was found on November 20, 2005, by a man hiking in a wooded area near Highway 18, near Issaquah, southeast of Seattle.
Another skull?
Damn. Ooh, she went missing in 1983.
Found her, 2005?
Mm-hmm. He must have buried her, not buried her, but hit her really, really, really good. For her body just barely showing up now.
Maybe an animal moved it.
Something moved it. But, man.
Ridgway confessed more confirmed murder than any other American serial killer.
Yeah, that's
at this point. Yeah. Not anymore.
Now, who got the highest now?
Yeah, Samuel Little.
Samuel Little.
Who's Samuel Little?
I haven't heard of Samuel Little.
All of you?
No, we haven't heard of him. I haven't. No, you haven't. Mm-mm. He's new to me.
I think he's confessed like 90 something.
93, there's...
More? Yeah. Where's he killing? What area?
Really? Yeah, he was like...
He was just like a nomad. Yeah. Like he was just traveling and he would just be seen. Oh, can you imagine him being... I know, but we're looking at you.
And at this point, Samuel Little is 60 confirmed.
Damn. And then he converted, and then he committed to 30 more?
He just made the list.
He's on
the list now.
He's number one on that list?
No.
Damn. Who's number one on the list?
Gary Ridgway.
States, California, Texas, Ohio.
If he killed 90 and this guy killed 80.
I'm joking, guys. I'm talking about the podcast episodes.
Yes.
Oh.
No.
Are we going to discuss him, though?
That's what I said. Yeah. He made the list.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Or he made the list.
Oh, I thought you were talking about he made the list as far as being a psycho.
Well, that's...
killing 90 people.
He made the list of... our podcast episodes.
Oh, okay. That case, I've never heard of him. But then again, I do kind of take a step back from it because then I start getting all paranoid. Well, whatever, Bubba. You're not a girl, single mother.
We have to play the gender card.
We're not playing the gender card, but I'm just saying.
You just said I'm a girl.
I'm a girl. Well, yeah.
You played the gender card.
Well, I mean, yeah, it can happen to guys too, but a lot of the times it's girls that are getting murdered.
I'm joking. Stop it.
I used to carry a bat with me in my car. Way in the trunk. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do with, you know, like it's way in there in the back.
Wait, time out. Time out. Let me get the bat.
Wait, I got a weapon. But no, but the girls have tasers. Ruben had gotten girls tasers, right? And he got Kelly this knife, a pocket knife, all engraved with her name on the blade. I told her, I was like, hey, I mean, of course, don't carry that at school. Yeah. I go, but when you're out and about anywhere by yourself with your friends, I go, carry it with you. I go, I don't care.
Yeah.
Thinking about getting one. Have y'all seen those? Yeah, but have you seen those TikTok videos? And it's this girl, she has these different little self-defense little weapons that, like, are keychains. There's one that's like a little comb, right? Like a regular comb, but you open it and it's a knife. There's even, like, this little gun with, like, little bullets that you can put in there. I'm like, I'm going to get one of those, man. I mean, hey.
You're so worse.
But I'm saying, it's not going to do a lot of damage, that little knife, but it'll do some damage.
True.
Maybe enough to get away. But if you watch your scary movies right and pay attention, just saying.
Scream isn't scary.
Back of the ankle, baby. Have you seen? No. Have you seen? Was it? What movie was it? Urban Legends, I think. And
boring.
Whatever. Whatever. But a doctor was walking to his car, right? And they caught him. They got him with a knife right here in the back of his ankle.
Isn't it like a tendon?
And yeah, he went down. Hey, so you can.
What tendon is that?
I don't know. It's the back of the back of your foot in the back.
Achilles tendon.
Yeah.
Over a period of 5 months of police and prosecutor interviews, he confessed to 48 murders, 42 of which were on the police's list of probable remember killer victims. And on February 9, 2004, county prosecutors began to release the videotape records of Ridgway's confessions. In one taped interview, he initially told investigators that he was responsible for the deaths of 65 women. Ridgway claimed to have murdered 71 victims and confessed to having had sex with them before killing them. A detail which he did not reveal until after his sentence.
Okay, so
all over the place on this. All
right, so he in total he's confessed to killing, if I am calculating right.
At first it was 80.
136 women total, 70, 65 plus 71.
He's
adding to his count.
He's just going up and down.
Damn, dude.
It was 80 at one point, then it's 71, 65. Pick a number, guy.
Bro, you just killed 49 women.
I don't know, maybe.
Do you think he killed more?
Yeah, that's still a lot.
I mean, it is a lot, but yeah. I don't know why he's, I mean.
He's just stroking his ego.
Yeah. Pretty much do that. They all kind of.
I'm pretty sure it's more than 49.
Yeah.
But.
Not by that much.
I don't know, because he, like I said, he's 80 to 65.
His numbers are consistent. 71.
Yeah, like he can't.
He's stroking his own ego, like he says.
In his confession, he acknowledged that he targeted prostitutes because they were easy to pick up and that he hated most of them.
He hated them.
Yeah.
But he loved the service.
Yeah.
He was like his dad.
Yeah.
I wonder if his dad ever slept with any of them.
Again, he probably did.
Right? Because he hated them so much. But why so much hatred towards prostitutes, though, dude?
It's just, I don't know. Back then, it was just looked down upon.
I guess.
And at the same time, he's religious.
Well, it's still looked down upon. It's just.
See? That's true.
At the same time, he's religious. You're not supposed to hate people.
Exactly.
You're supposed to love all kinds of nature.
Just nature?
But it's hard. It's hard.
He confessed that he had sex with his victims' bodies after he murdered them. Never treated them.
Yep.
But claimed he began burying the later victims so that he could not resist, so he could resist the urge to commit necrophilia.
So he was performing necrophilia.
Yeah.
But then he started burying them so he wouldn't.
That's gross, man.
How about just don't?
I know.
But well, he earlier said that he was doing necrophilia so that
so he wouldn't get caught.
He wouldn't get caught. So he wouldn't kill, more
so
victims.
So he wouldn't kill again. That's why he was doing it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, now he had a conscience about it, so now he started burying
then
him.
Then he realized it was gross.
This guy's flip-flopping.
Big time.
Yeah. Get your stories right.
And Ridgway later said that murdering young women was his career. The cycle. At the time of Ridgway's December 18, 2003 sentencing, Authorities have been able to find at least 48 sets of remains, including victims not originally attributed to the Green River Killer. Ridgway was sentenced for the deaths of each of these 48 victims, with a plea agreement that he would plead guilty to any and all further cases in King County where his confession could be corroborated by reliable evidence. Before Ridgway's confession, authorities had not attributed to the Green River Killer the deaths of victims Rule, Marzak, Hayes, Reeves, Yellow Robe, and Jane Doe, B20.
Okay, so...
Yeah, go ahead.
Rule, Marzak, Hayes, Reeves, Yellow Robe, and Jane Doe, B20 got added to his list of victims?
Yes.
Because evidence, the evidence...
Biggest thing from the evidence. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's 54, 55
now? No.
No, they're always part of
it. It was part of the 49.
They just didn't...
No names, I guess.
Yeah. They, like I said, believed but didn't have evidence.
Which one did?
Yeah. Ridgway's confession and the direction of the police search crews to find the bodies of Amins, Butchrum, and Malvar on August and September 2002. On Tuesday, December 21st, 2010, hikers near the West Valley Highway in Auburn, Washington found a skull in the vicinity of where Mary Malvar's remains had been found in 2003. The King County prosecutor confirmed that Ridgway would be formally charged with her murder on February 11th, 2011. On February 18th, 2011, he entered a guilty plea in the murder of Rebecca Marrero, adding a 49th life sentence to his existing 48. Ridgway confessed to murdering Marrero in his original plea bargain, but due to insufficient evidence, the charges will not be filed. Therefore, there is no charge in his current incarceration status.
Ooh, so this means, so the way this plea deal goes is that, so whatever body they find, like from here, like say from there to even today, right?
Yeah.
And if the evidence goes back to him, but what if the evidence doesn't say it's his? Are they still going to charge him for it? Or it has to have evident proof that it's him? The way it seems, it's like trying to say, like, no matter what bodies they're going to find, they're going to charge him for it. You know what I'm trying to get at?
So they're just going to add it to it?
So they're just going to add it. Like, even if it's not him that did it, you know? Like, is that how it works? Or is it, it has to be, there has to be evidence saying that it was him that killed it and then they add it?
Yes, I think so. Not wishy-washy.
You were.
I was stirring right here.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but I don't think they can do that. Just add them to him. Maybe it has to.
Yeah.
You're like, we found a body.
It's yours.
So. But no, but like, I'm just saying, like if they find another body, like, in the same area, not in the same spot, but, like, in the same area where his other body's victims are at.
That's tough.
You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah.
Not saying that he actually did it, but let's say someone else killed someone and dumped it in the same area.
Place.
Yeah, the same place, but there's no evidence at who it is. Are they going to say, like, we can't formally charge you, but you're in our eyesight on this body?
We'll get you in contact with the Seattle or King County
Sheriff's
Department.
We should have one of them on standby at all times. You know I'm going to ask these questions.
If you're listening to us, please give us a call.
You never call me now.
The remains of Tracy Winston were found at Valley School, Kent's Cottonwood Rural Park in March 1986. Winston's skull was found in November 2005 near Tiger Mountain, miles away from the discovery site of the rest of her body. Police assumed someone carried it to the location. Probably took her head.
So you kept her head?
Cut her head off, sent it that way.
That's sad.
Either that or I think it was animals.
Hey, you know what though? That part right there, that Camp Kitty murders I was telling you about. No, it has to do with the skull. Look.
I know.
One of the sisters, or the sister that got killed there, right? Yeah. Okay, there's two sisters. One of them was staying over at a friend's, but the one that stayed, they couldn't find her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think years later, or a year later, a year or years later, they found her skull. So that's why they're saying, in that case, it could have been someone who picked up her son and her son's friend. So there's theories. Oh, that's a whole other case. But that's happened to... I know.
You're jumping to another case.
I know, but it's that reminded me of that, where they found her head somewhere else. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra Denise Major was not identified until June 2012. The family member asked the King County Sheriff to investigate after seeing a TV movie about Ridgway. DNA confirmed Major's identity.
Was this your lifetime movie?
Yes, it was. I'm telling you. You shall... One day we're going to watch it. Told you.
You should start watching
it. You should. those true crime stories, those true events, based on true events, or inspired by a true story.
I'm not sold yet.
Wendy Stevens, previously known as Jane Doe B12, was previously unidentified. Ridgway claimed that she was a white female in her early 20s and possibly had brown hair. Examination of the remains suggests that she was actually between 12 and 18, most likely around 15. She was later confirmed to be 14 years old. Analysis of the victim's skeleton indicated she was probably left-handed. She had at one point in her life suffered a healed skull fracture to the left temple.
Yeah. Well, to begin with, I mean, she already had a healed fracture. Oh, she bumped her head real bad.
Yeah.
Okay, what?
At some point in her life, she suffered a healed skull fracture to her left temple. Yeah, that's how they identified her.
Yeah.
So,
how did they find out she was left-handed?
I don't know.
That's kind of weird.
I know, right? That's like a pointless. Like, we didn't need to know that. But
kind of interesting how they knew that.
Right? Oh, but how sad she was 14. Man, that's sad. That's probably how he lured the younger ones in. I wonder if by.
Kid.
Well, when was this kid born, though? What year? Because if she was. Did they say when she was murdered? They didn't say what year, right? But if it was after his kid born, then yeah. She'd probably say, like, oh, he has a son.
Yeah.
He's not going to hurt me. Or maybe in the pretense, like, hey, I can get you a decent job. Babysit my kid. It's disgusting.
Thankfully, he got cut.
They should have given him that death penalty, though. That's sad. He got away. Well, he didn't get away with it, but, like, he's just, you know. He's going to sit there and tell me he feels bad about killing all those girls. No.
And did he even give up all the locations of the victims?
Yeah.
Did he? I don't think so. Probably not.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we should just kill him.
Yeah. Probably not, because if he's confessed to
more than just a murder, yeah.
And he's not even. They've barely found 40 something.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah. I guess he knew, though. Probably. If he, you know, gave a location to all of the girls that he killed, death penalty for sure.
Yep.
He might as well. I mean, it's not like he's going anywhere in Texas.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you want him to serve 48 years? No, 480 years, right?
That's like biblical type.
I know. That's like, I don't know. I guess our the system.
Yep. Story, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Jane Doe, B-17, the still unidentified victim, was discovered on January 2nd, 1986. Remains that have been found in another area February 18th, 1984, were later matched to this victim. In 2003, Richard claimed responsibility for her death. Jane Doe, B20, also unidentified, was discovered in August 2003. Because the remains were partial, her face could not be reconstructed and her race could not be determined. But she was estimated to have been between 13 and 24 years old at the time of her death. She was murdered between 1970 and 1993, but she is believed to have been murdered during the first decade of Ridgway's murder spree.
So they don't know how old she was, only that she was between 13 and 24?
Yeah, and they couldn't determine her race. Or they couldn't reconstruct her face either.
Damn.
That's sad.
Just because it's been out there for so long?
I think so.
A decade?
And she remains partial.
Sad. That is.
Ridgway is suspected of, but not charged with, murdering the remaining six victims of the original list attributed to the Green River Kill. In each case, either Ridgway did not confess to the victim's death, or authorities have not been able to corroborate their suspicion with reliable evidence. Ridgway denied killing Amina Agasov. Agasov did not fit the profile of any of the victims of the Green River Killer, considering her age, and she was not a sex worker or a teenage runaway.
She didn't fit his MO?
Didn't fit his MO, yeah.
But do all of these serial killers pretty much stick to their MO? Do they kind of like switch it up a bit?
Some do. Some might change.
You see, maybe he did kill her, but he figured, well, she's not my regular, you know?
Yeah.
Got away with one?
Yeah.
That's, you know, some of these guys are, man, I don't want to date nobody because who knows, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, do you? Do you? Do you, though?
That got a little hostile.
I know. Dating sucks. No, but seriously, because no, I've been, you know, but yeah. I mean, but like, that kind of answered my question on the first one, though. because they suspected him of six other victims, right? But they couldn't charge him.
Yeah.
Because there was no evidence, but he didn't confess to it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying, like, on that plea deal, like, just say there is more victims, right? But they just haven't popped up yet?
Maybe.
So let's just say, like, sometime in the near future, right now or in the near future.
If some pop up
and they do this whole thing. But let's say what happens, well, they can't do anything to him because what if he dies before that happens?
Although he has never been charged with a murder, during police interrogation in 2003, Ridgway did confess to killing Casey Ann Lee. He said that he strangled Lee in 1982 and left her body near a drive-in theater off the SeaTac Strip. Law enforcement officials have been unable to locate these remains at the dump site that Ridgway indicated. Evidence exists to suggest that Ridgway murdered Kelly K. McGinnis shortly before her disappearance. McGinnis was questioned by a Port of Seattle police officer while dating Ridgway near the SeaTac Strip. Evidence exists to suggest that Ridgway murdered Kelly K. McGinnis shortly before her disappearance. McGinnis was questioned by a Port of Seattle police officer while dating Ridgway near a SeaTac Strip. Furthermore, during the summer of 2003, Ridgway led authorities to the bodies of several of his victims. One of those bodies, later identified as that of April Buttram, was initially identified by Ridgway as being that of McGinnis. According to Ridgway, he often confused McGinnis with Buttram because of their similar physiques.
What? Okay, wait. So when they found April Buttram, he thought that was Kelly McGinnis at first?
Yes.
But when they found Kelly's body, is when he was like, oh, wait, yeah, that's Kelly. The other one.
That was April.
Damn weirdo, man. But I bet the cops were very, like, with him, right? Yes. Like, frustrated because of all of his shenanigans and his...
Yep. Bullshit.
Yeah. Wait. I'm sorry. But, like, at his court hearing, did he cry during his court hearing?
Yeah.
That shit makes me mad.
I know.
I'm like, why are you crying? Now you're crying. Yes. I mean, you weren't crying when you were doing it.
Yeah. Moron.
Ridgway is a suspect in the deaths of Angela Marie Gerner and Tammy Lyles. Their bodies were discovered within a mile of the bodies of known victims, Shirley Sherrill and Denise Bush. Lyles remained unidentified until 1998 and Gerner until October 2009.
Oh, okay, so they have him charged for 49, but they suspect him of a total of 8 more victims. They just can't
identify it, I guess.
Yeah, they can't prove it was him, but they're...
Ridgway has been considered a suspect in the disappearances and murders of several other women not attributed at the time to the Green River Killer. No charges have been filed. An unidentified black female, possibly bearing the first name Michelle, was a possible victim of Ridgway. She has never been located or identified.
So how did they get Michelle?
Oh, I know.
I don't know.
That's kind of odd. Right. Yeah.
What?
Wait.
Well, yeah, that is odd, but unless she had family that maybe was like, hey, well, was she a sex worker? Like, did they discuss more of her? Just that.
Or maybe he gave up a name.
Oh, maybe he told her name.
Maybe.
That's stupid.
Maybe, like, I know of her, I hooked up with her, yeah. She went by Michelle the last time. I was just not the one killing her. That's stupid, right? Because, like, yeah, I hooked up with her, but I didn't kill her.
Yeah.
I would have been like, well, I don't believe you. Because, I mean, you killed all these other workers.
Yeah.
What made her so special?
He liked her?
He likes the black girls?
Maybe.
Yeah, because it's true. Like, how would they know about her name?
Yeah.
Like, I know the FBI agents have, like, that one dude that profiles people. But you're going to sit there and tell me they're going to be that good to be like, oh, but you know what? I think he was, or she was like a Michelle. She was a Michelle. She went by Michelle.
Maybe there's a way they found her name.
Unless she had something.
But she's unidentified. So I had to get her name.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I know that's what you're saying.
But unless she had family members that actually did care, you know, knew what she was doing. Yeah. Was she a sex worker? No one knows.
I don't know.
See?
More than likely.
Okay, so if she was, let's just say she was, but maybe she still had family that cares. I mean, I'm pretty sure not all of these sex workers, you know.
But how did they know who she was?
Well, that's what I'm saying. An unidentified black female. Oh, no one identified her.
Yeah.
So which means, like, no one called or said anything, right?
No, I was like, your story's, like, confusing to me.
That's weird. That's yeah, like, how would they know her name is Michelle, right? How stupid. She went, how smart. Just like I knew that other lady was left-handed. Oh, this one by Michelle.
You know, true.
Well, she had, like, you know how those necklaces that have, like, their names, right?
Oh.
But maybe, like, half of it was, like, taken off or broken off, yeah. And they just kind of, like, you know?
Or maybe the full name was there.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
So maybe she had something, you know.
Identified.
But possibly bearing the first name.
She's never been located.
Oh, this is weird. This is odd.
It's weird. How would they come up with the name of the show?
And that she was a sex worker, and just bear with me on this, please, okay? She was a sex worker.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
But I don't know, though, because it goes back to knowing an unidentified female, black female, yeah. Right? And what is it? She's never been located or identified. But maybe her... But why would a pimp go, right? Like, it'd be like, hey, look, you know. But I'm just saying, I'm sure pimps have their favorite, right? And they keep tabs on them, and they make sure they're taken care of. So maybe she went missing, and he's just kind of like, look, I know, you know, but then she was never identified, and no one, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going with the fact that maybe she had something with that bearing the name Michelle on there. That's why it's possibly bearing the first name Michelle.
I mean, it's probably jewelry.
Yeah. Bracelet, necklace, something. Yeah. They even make earrings with your name on there.
Cora McGirt was the mother of NBA player Martell Webster. McGirt disappeared when her son was 4 years old. Ridgway was long suspected for the 1987 murder of Rosemary Caron, a 16-year-old addict and prostitute, but was recently ruled out as a suspect.
So he's suspected of killing 10 more victims.
That's what I'm...
And that's including...
They can't pin the evidence on him, right?
No. Yeah, see, that's the thing. They can't pin it on him, but they're thinking it could be him.
Yeah. All I'm getting from this case...
It's all
this guy was a son of a bitch.
No, he was. He was a real son of a bitch.
So, guys, how did you like this episode?
I like it.
Our premiere episode.
It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Long.
A long one, but it was a good one. This guy's case was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like that in the movie, too. That's why the FBI agent, the one that was, he could just, it actually affected his family, too, because he was real, like, he needed to catch him.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's worried about his daughters and his wife, right?
Yeah.
So, but it ran a toll on his family, too, about not really, you know, because he was so invested in trying to catch this guy. And it was like every time they were so close, they couldn't get him. For the life of him, it was so hard. That's why they went to Ted Bundy, because he had a hard time doing it.
Remember.
Yeah.
We'll be putting victims in full on our social media platforms.
Yeah.
He's a Riverman.
Green River Man. Green River Asshole.
Yeah. I'm telling you. But isn't it funny how all these serial killings started, like, what year?
The 80s.
The 80s? More in the 80s?
Late 70s.
Early 80s, right?
Yeah.
I always saw my mom freaked out. I was like, man, I go, y'all in the 70s were real cool walking around like nothing. Hitchhiking. No matter who it was.
Yep.
Nowadays, someone looks at you, you're just like, what? I carry some brass knuckles with me at all times. And a gun. That little gun. Pew, pew. Can you imagine? Oh, but imagine crying at that. Pew, pew, pew.
Pew.
And I'll make that noise, too.
Pew, 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 pew.
Please rate us on Apple Podcasts, and please follow us, the Four True Crime Idiots Podcast, on all of our social media platforms. All of the links will be in the description. Hope you all enjoyed this episode of the Four True Crime Idiots Podcast. Until the next episode...
Beware of your surroundings.
Stay safe.
Be vigilant. Bye.
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 When did you first think about treating your mom violently to get what you wanted her to do?
Probably in fourth grade.
Okay, there we go. Fourth.
Fourth, fifth, and sixth was probably up to that grade.
And what... What was in your mind that you wanted to do to get her to treat you a certain way? What did you want to do to your mom here?
I wanted her to stop being angry at me for not knowing how to...
But she wasn't stopping.
No, she wasn't stopping.
Was she?
No.
She kept picking at you. Belittling you.
Mm-hmm.
Embarrassing you. I mean, that was pretty clear from yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It happened in school, too, so I had
So what was your way of retaliating against her in your mind? And what were you thinking to do to your mom?
I don't know if I was thinking of hurting her. I just wanted her to stop and let me alone. Angry at her for pushing and pushing and pushing on me to remember, and I just couldn't remember, and I just wanted her to stop.
But she didn't.
But she didn't know.
She didn't stop. So somewhere in the fourth or fifth grade, that sense of helplessness that you had not being able to get her to stop, mm-hmm. would very likely have produced thoughts of taking back some power and control over your mom to get the bitch to shut up. I mean, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. but Gary, that's what we hear. And that's what one of the things we're looking to get a better understanding of.
I stabbed a kid one time.
Okay. Just
stabbed a kid with a knife.
Tell me about that.
Down by Chinook, where I used to go to school. And boy was playing, I stabbed him in the side and didn't kill him. About sixth grade, I think it was seventh grade, and that was at the same time I was, you know, breaking out windows, throwing rocks at windows.
Not interested in that.
But that's what I took my aggression on. I couldn't take it on my mom. I had to take it on my animals and
how many
and
animals
kids.
Did you kill?
I killed a lot of birds, but one cat suffocated in a ice chest,
mm-hmm.
and shot babies at dogs and to hurt them.
You couldn't take your aggressions out on your mom.
No, I couldn't.
But you could think about it.
I could think about it, and
what'd you think?
I thought of, about hurting her so she'd shut up and leave me alone. And then
how did you think about hurting your mom?
Killing her.
And how would you do that?
I thought with my hands, or I didn't have no guns or anything, so I didn't. It had to have been hands or
And then after she was dead, what were you going to do in your head?
In my head, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just wanted her to stop. One time there, they were going to put me in a special school. I didn't want that. My dad and my mom were arguing about it all the time. And it was for retarded people, and I wasn't retarded, I don't think. So I was mad at them for wanting to put me away from other kids. Hurt her bad.
What does that mean, hurt her bad? Help me to understand that.
Just beat her up so she would leave me alone. And
how would you do that in your head?
My hands. Beat her up with my hands. Maybe use a knife.
What would you do with the knife?
I'd probably stab her with it. She was the big problem I had. I mean, there's, my dad wasn't around that much. He was working all the time, and she was one of us in control, and she was constantly trying to get me to do better in school, and I just couldn't do better. I wanted to have her stop, and the only way was to kill her, to hurt her bad.
When did you think about having sex with your mother?
When? 14 or 15, I think.
Tell me about that. It's about the same time frame.
Mm-hmm. I'd see her out sunbathing and I feel that she, you know, she'd be good to have sex with, and, but she's my mother, and I never really. This is the only woman in my life. I just, you know, neighborhood girls, but so to have, she, I get fantasies of having sex with her and wanting to, but being restricted on that part.
But at the same time in your life, and listen carefully to this, mm-hmm. At the same time in your life, you also hate your mom for what she's doing to you.
Yes.
So how are those thoughts and fantasies colliding together? Because we know that that happens.
Mm-hmm.
How are they colliding together in your head?
And colliding together in my head when she was just laying down there, she was more of a sex object than a mother, and more of the fantasies of having sex with her and nothing of having to kill her. Two different things. When she was always, Dr. Jekyll Clyde, when she's down there, she's a sex fantasy, sex object. When she's up there trying to get me to read, and she's the other side, something I hated. I loved the part of her being a sex object, but I didn't like the part of her being a mother and working with me as trying to help me in reading, and I liked the sex part better than I liked the mother that was always trying to hurt, belittle me, and because I wasn't.
You went to a lot of work to create these ruses, mm-hmm. and it sounds to me like you had a series of ruses that you had kind of in your hip pocket,
mm-hmm.
that you would bring out and you would use to make you appear normal to some of these women.
Mm-hmm.
And there had to be a way of you deciding, even though it was just like that, which ruse would work with which woman. I mean, you had to have a way of feeling them out and saying, I think ruse number 1, 2, 3 will work with this woman. Explain that process to me.
Well, one of them was, a woman would get in the car.
She's already in
the car? She's in the car. Let's say she's always in the car. We're driving down the road. And she wants to see my ID. So I whipped out my ID, and with my ID would be I'd put my finger over my driver's license to hide my name.
Mm-hmm.
But on the opposite side was pictures. And a picture of my son. And they would see my son, and they would know I was probably a normal person.
But you were really using your son as part of your ruse.
This is only, at the time, I didn't want to picture my ex-wife there, so I had to picture my son.
Sure, you had to make it sound good.
I had a driver's license on one side, my ID, and then when I showed my, and then the next picture was my son, so that was. And in the vehicle, I had had some of my son's stuff in there, you know, that he left in there, or something, Star Wars or something like that. And also, there was like a family setting.
In your vehicle.
Yeah, so every time I opened up my wallet, there would be a picture of my son on one side, behind my ID. There's my ID. I hide my name, flip it over, and there's my ID and my son's picture on the back side. And they'd see that, and that would lower any big defenses. Mm-hmm. And, kids' toys, 8-year-old toys on the dash.
The only thing that would be better than that would be to have your son in the car with you. That would be an incredible ruse.
That happened once.
What happened?
It was July 18th, I think it was my brother's birthday. That weekend I picked up a woman on back highway, and Matthew was next to me in the seat, and she hopped in, and I took her over to in the South Airport area, and took her into an area, and my son was there, and I killed her. I'm real sure my son didn't see it. But that only happened one time.
But that was a pretty good ruse.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't you do it again?
Well, for one thing, I didn't want my son to see that happen again. Because that's when I was really, killing a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, it never came to an opportunity again to do it. I had him in my truck one time. He was sleeping, and I picked up another prostitute, but I didn't date her.